Hello, this is Dr. Nicholas Ellen, Senior Pastor of Community of Faith Bible Church. We thank you for taking the time to join us this week as we seek to learn God's Word so that we may live His Word and love others through His Word. We pray that God will use this message to transform your life. Now, let's dive in to God's Word. As we come now to another section, as we are seeking to have a biblical understanding of ethnicity, of racism and justice, we're coming to another section where we're seeking to unfold an understanding more about the concept of racism as we want to explore this week the fruit of rejecting God's description and God's prescription of racism. So as we begin, I want us to go back and just be reminded of what we are defining as racism. So far, we've discovered that racism can be defined as the belief that one people group is more valuable than another and the practice of distinguishing one people group as more important than another. Fundamentally, racism has to do not merely with real or perceived differences between people groups, but with the value and significance of these differences. It has to do with the presumption of superiority over people groups and the conduct of personal and social life that manifests this presumption, watch this, in personal, communal, and social cultural ways. We begin to understand that racism has to do with beliefs, it has to do with actions, it has to do with structures that centralize some by marginalizing others on the basis of supposed differences. Whereas we discover that the word racism is not in the Bible, the concept can be understood as a practice of unbiblical partiality, i.e., ungodly bias towards people groups that results in elevating one people group and demeaning another people group, a respect of persons not sanctioned by God. And so this has been our central understanding when we talk about racism. As we build on that this week, as we're walking it through, here's the key thing I want you to understand about our sermon, our insight, our topic of discussion this week. Idolatry breeds the worship of the creation above the Creator. We discovered that last week. But this breeds earthly, natural, demonic wisdom being the source of defining and defending and resolving issues in life. And when you and I, when we choose to define and defend or seek to resolve the issue of racism, i.e., unbiblical partiality, ungodly bias towards people groups, a respect of persons not sanctioned by God through ungodly wisdom, it creates more problems than resolving them. I want us to take a look just for a moment at the passages of John chapter 3, verse 13 to verse 18. And I want us to unfold this passage and then see the correlations that come from this. In James chapter 3, verse 13 to verse 18, the text says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of righteousness, and is sown in peace by those who make peace." Now, I want you to consider some of the insights that have been given to this verse and some of these wonderful commentators who walked through this, such as Tyndale and Kirk Richardson and Thomas D. Leah and all these particulars. And I want to just walk you through some of the things that they've said about this passage. Listen to these commentators. "True wisdom is the practical and successful application of knowledge. Such wisdom comes from God and bears good fruit. The fruit which consists of righteousness produces peace, the very opposite of the sin and disorder." Isn't that interesting? Listen to this commentator. He says this: earthly wisdom is bound by material and physical concerns and will not suspend its interest in the temporal plane for the sake of the divine glory. The maxim from Proverbs 14:12 characterizes this wisdom as well as in any in the Bible. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Listen to this. Bitter envy and selfish ambition prove that a person is following the route of false wisdom. Envy describes a determined desire to promote one's opinion to the exclusion of the opinions of others. Selfish ambition pictures a person who tries to promote a cause in an unethical manner. This person becomes willing to use divisive means to promote a personal viewpoint. Bitter rivalries develop out of these practices. Listen to this. The kind of conduct produced by hearts full of bitter envy and selfish ambition, however, is the opposite of the wisdom that comes from God. It rather originates from below. In a descending hierarchy of values, James identifies the true nature of this other wisdom. Contrary to the heavenly source of the first wisdom, the second is earthly. The earthliness of this wisdom stands for the philosophical or other kinds of rational approach to values that does not truly take the revealed will of God into account. This verse, in reference to James 3:15, uses three adjectives to describe the distinctive traits and source of false wisdom. First, negatively, false wisdom does not come from heaven or from God. Its source is earthly. It belongs to the way of life of this world. Second, false wisdom is unspiritual, belonging to the natural world and not to the supernatural world. It comes from the mental and emotional ideas of fallen human beings. Unfortunately, we Christians are too often guilty of using this twisted wisdom. Finally, this false wisdom is of the devil. Satan uses it to corrupt relationships. Isn't that wonderful insight looking at James chapter 3? Verses 13 to verses 18. What a powerful, powerful way to articulate and break down this verse. But here is something you and I need to consider. What happens when earthly, natural, demonic wisdom is applied to understanding and the resolution of racism? Consider this. When the understanding and the resolution of racism is left in the hands of man and not addressed through the grid of scripture, man is operating in earthly, natural demonic wisdom. And I want you to understand this, where earthly, natural demonic wisdom is involved in addressing racism, you will find reasons, you will find rationales, you will find resolutions for racism without considering God's description for racism, God's prescription for the problem, and that leads to a whole lot of confusion, disorder, and every evil thing. Now, I want you to consider the understanding and resolution of racism that comes from this earthly, natural, demonic wisdom. Here's some things that I've been reading about, and here's some of the logic that I'm hearing in the culture when it comes to racism. There is a brand of trying to define and resolve racism, and here's how it kind of goes. There's some earthly, natural, demonic wisdom out there that has determined that society is divided into the oppressed and the oppressor according to gender, according to race, according to class, according to sexuality, according to physical abilities, and etc. But also, this earthly, natural, demonic wisdom says if you are part of a majority ethnicity within the society, you are an oppressor, you are privileged, and you are racist by default. Now again, listen to the logic of this. So if you are a part of a majority ethnicity, according to this earthly, natural, demonic wisdom, that automatically makes you an oppressor, that automatically makes you privileged, that automatically makes you racist by the fact that you're part of that. But again, according to this earthly, natural, demonic wisdom, if you are a part of a minority ethnic group within a society, you are oppressed
underprivileged, and the victim of racism by default. Just because you are in the ethnicity that's the minority, it makes you oppressed. It makes you underprivileged. It makes you a victim of racism by default. So then this wisdom concludes that if that's the case, then all minority ethnic groups within a society are the oppressed and need to wake up to the reality of how they have been dominated by the majority ethnic group's ideas and values for the worse and not the better. So consequently, according to this wisdom, if you are part of a majority ethnic group within the society and you do not own up to your racism by default, no doubt, of being part of that ethnicity, then you must be ultimately overthrown. The solution, again, for racism, according to this wisdom, is activism that leads to revolution. To throw off the chains of the oppressor, or to allow yourself, if you are an oppressor, by way of being part of the majority ethnicity, to be divested of your own power and privilege so that the culture may have liberation, social justice, or equity. Now, I hope you've heard that. Because if we embrace this earthly, natural, demonic perspective presented about racism above that I've just said to you, then here's what we end up with as ungodly ideals and actions. See, if I embrace what I just shared with you, then here's what I'm understanding. People are understood in accordance to a prescribed label as an oppressor or oppressed by the nature of being part of a people group that's deemed the oppressor or oppressed. So if I am part of a minority group, then I'm automatically oppressed. If I am part of a majority group, then I'm automatically an oppressor. So with this mindset, the source of authority that validates racism is the person's experience or interpretation thereof that are not necessarily facts that can be proven and validated accordingly. Within this wisdom, racism is connected to a people group by nature of being part of that group as opposed to proven individual, communal, or institutional words, actions, or procedures of racism being demonstrated by that person or by individuals within that group of people. So just because you're with this group, that automatically makes you racist. That automatic whatever you do is racist without any proven fact. So with this wisdom, then racism is assumed by nature of the position of the person being part of an ethnicity. So within this group, or within this type of wisdom, racism, you can only be racist if you are a part of an ethnicity that's deemed as the oppressor within society. So then any comments or practices of demeaning or devaluing or dishonoring or degrading of the ethnicity that's deemed the oppressor, it's not considered racism when you speak out against that. It's only a cry of hurt from the oppressed ethnicity. So if the major majority ethnicity, because you are racist by default, according to this theory and this logic, then the minority groups, if they say something derogatory or devaluing or dishonoring or degrading towards you or your ethnicity, well, they're not really being racist. They're just crying out because they're oppressed. Well, if this is true, and again, if we embrace this wisdom, then here's what we're saying. Consequently, racism cannot be changed. It can only be overturned by some form of activism and revolution. Because the only thing that can change is the position of the oppressed and oppressor. So what happens when the minority becomes the majority? Then they ultimately become the oppressor, and those who are the minority become the oppressed now. So there is no change because, again, there's no heart change. So this ultimately turns the oppressed into the oppressor, creating the same dynamic over and over and over. So if we embrace this logic, then there's no common ground amongst people groups. We're divided by nature of our labels into us and them. By default, ethnicities are deemed as greater than or less than according to subjective societal measures. Mutual give and take amongst ethnicities, that would be considered suspect because there's got to be something wrong here. In order for change to truly happen in society, then, some ethnicity has to lose and some ethnicity has to gain, which means coming together and working together for mutual gain, it's not feasible. So then, with this logic and this form of reasoning about racism, actual, proven, institutional, communal, and individual acts of racism are minimized or maximized or ignored, resulting in hindering institutional, communal, and individual change for the better of all ethnicities. So then, what's the illogical conclusion of all of this? If we embrace this earthly, natural, demonic wisdom, then racism you will have with you always, since the only thing that can change is the position of the oppressed to oppressor. Therefore, then, you know what? If we hold on to this logic, then Darwinism, the survival of the fittest, becomes a logical conclusion for understanding the nature and life of mankind. We have to be very careful what we try to hold on to when we reject God's description and God's prescription for racism, and we allow the wisdom of the world, this earthly, natural, demonic wisdom, to define and to seek to resolve racism, we will have confusion, disorder, and every evil thing. Godly wisdom exposes that racism is an issue of the heart that leads to individual, communal, and institutional mindsets and methodologies that create confusion, disorder, and every evil thing amongst people groups and within people groups. Therefore, racism can only be resolved through the mindset and methodologies of God that create oneness, order, and every godly thing. So then, my brothers and my sisters, we must distinguish between the wisdom of God and earthly, natural, demonic wisdom as it relates to racism. Because if we distinguish between this ungodly wisdom and godly wisdom in relation to racism and apply godly wisdom, we can reject the world's understanding, we can reject the world's solution for racism, and embrace God's description and prescription for racism. With that in mind, I want you to consider this premise and this practice for addressing racism in counter to what I've just shared with you. We must understand, my brothers and sisters, that Satan has so confused the matter of racism through erroneous, deceptive ideologies of racism that it leads to legitimate issues of racism being minimized or being maximized or being ignored. So, we must discern the erroneous, the deceptive ideologies of racism that lead us to minimizing and maximizing or ignoring legitimate issues of racism as opposed to addressing racism to the glory of God. Erroneous, deceptive ideologies of racism lead to the practice of labeling, accusing one of racism without warrant, without evidence, or any proof. Erroneous, deceptive ideologies of racism lead to the practice of ignoring individual, communal, institutional racism where there is warrant, where there is evidence, where there is proof. Erroneous, deceptive ideologies of racism, ladies and gentlemen, lead us to the practice of being a proclaimer of illegitimate political ideologies which create more division. The social and the political agendas of society, they aim too low in addressing racism. They focus on racial reconciliation or the resolution of racial disparities, but the reality is that we want to focus on reconciliation to God, which can result then in racial reconciliation and minimizing of racial disparities as each people group practices loving God and loving others as empowered by God to do so. You see, my friends, biblical views of wisdom and biblical wisdom on the issue of racism can lead to the understanding of racism as a sin issue of the heart that is ultimately rebellion against God and His will. When we find ourselves focusing on a biblical view or the biblical views and wisdom on racism, this can also lead to the practice of being a proclaimer of truth, pursuing biblical harmony and justice as prescribed by God. See, my friends, biblical views and wisdom on the issue of racism will lead us to addressing people with this: the gospel message of salvation to redeem mankind, the sanctification practice of the one another's to those who have been redeemed to develop in the bond of unity provided through the Trinity, the promotion of God's standard of righteousness in the community to challenge individual, communal, and institutional practices that impede human flourishing according to God's will. And finally, the promotion of God's standard of righteousness in the community to influence and encourage individual, communal, and institutional practices that help facilitate human flourishing according to God's will. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which is from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. James chapter 3. Verse 13 to verse 18. I want you to listen to this particular book called Critical Race Theory, an introduction from a biblical and a historical perspective. This is by Diana L'Esperance. Listen to what she has to say. She says, although critical race theory is rooted in secular philosophies, its branches have now reached into the church. Many evangelicals believe it isn't necessary to adopt all of the ideas that form CRT, but they still believe that there are insights that can be gleaned from some of its principles. They argue that CRT reflects what some may say is common grace, because it has truthful insights found in human ideas that do not explicitly emerge from Scripture. But the knowledge involved in CRT isn't like the knowledge involved in treating an ear infection or planting crops, showing God's common grace for his creation. Instead, CRT would be categorized as philosophy. The word philosophy is made up of two Greek words, philo, love, and sophia, wisdom. There are two sources of wisdom. One is named Jesus, in whom the scripture tells us are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And the other source is the world, of whom the scriptures warn us to beware, lest any man spoil you, take you captive through philosophy and vain deceit, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. CRT, or critical race theory, has its source in the world and can never lead to true racial reconciliation, because grace and forgiveness are against its very nature. It leads its people who are connected to it to continually find fault, accuse with a raised fist, and divide people into identity groups who are suspicious of one another. Christianity, on the other hand, offers us unity through the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul, who was Jewish, described the way that Jesus was a beautiful source of peace and reconciliation in his letter to the Ephesians, Gentiles, a different and even dominant racial group. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. My brothers and my sisters, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. And that is the wisdom from above.
We hope that you've been encouraged by hearing God's word. If you would like to contact us, you may do so by dialing 713 510-4021, or you can go online to www.cofhouston.com. This is Dr. Nicholas Ellen saying God bless you and have a great day.